Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the Bible Brothers and Beer podcast. So tonight, we have a special guest, as we did our last podcast. My name is Richard, and I'll have him introduce himself here shortly. My name is Richard, and I also have our regular hosts as well.
I'm Caleb. Good to be here.
Hey, Caleb. I'm Jeff.
And our special guest.
I'm Jay.
Hall of Famer Dr. J.
Dr. J, yes. Welcome, Dr. J. Glad to have you.
Jay, can you give us an intro of who you are and what you do or what you have done?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I can. Retired physician, did infectious diseases for 30 years, and follower of Christ. And as far as the group goes, kind of one of the three or four people that was there at the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, as far as that goes. And kind of a funny story about that. The, you know, they asked me to oversee five different groups. And as I went and interviewed people, three or four had been missionaries. And, you know, and I said, what am I going to add to that? And then I came to this group and said, you know, I don't need to oversee it. I just need to be part of it. So that's how.
Yeah, you're one of our original, the OGs, right?
OG.
Since 2018. So thank you for being here, Dr. J. I'm going to call you Dr. J. So thank you for that. So tonight we're going to talk about, so the Bible portion of this, of the podcast, are the parables of Jesus. There's a lot in there. How many did we say there were? Over 50 parables?
There's between 30 and 50, depending on how you count it and that.
Yeah.
So I have a question for the group. What is a parable?
I'll give the easy answer. It's a story, an illustration of Jesus using to prove his point.
And I would add to that that it is usually imagery that is, you know, for the audience and that they simply can understand. So yeah. It's usually culturally relevant.
So the stories are often earthly, but they often have a spiritual meaning.
Yeah, yeah. He breaks it down for us so we can, as Caleb mentioned, so, you know, normal folk like me can understand it. and what it means and how we can use that in our life, right? So
one of the questions that was brought up is like, why did Jesus speak in parables?
That's a good question. So we can understand, right?
Okay, so that, yeah, certainly.
I think we understand stories a lot better than we do
bullet
points, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I think it's easier to remember a story than it is, you know, to memorize like the Sermon on the Mount or that. So stories is certainly that. What other reasons would Jesus talk in parables?
That's a good question. What are your? I want to know your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm just allowing.
We have a guest, and he asks all the questions. this is why we love Jay.
You know what's fun is that. Because it's a group discussion often that we have, every Tuesday. And I think that that's an important aspect. So, I just thinking about it today, I said, so the first thing that comes to mind is that he was fulfilling the prophecies by Isaiah. After Isaiah had the vision in the sixth chapter, he said, you know, who will I send and send me, you know. After that, the reference, Isaiah 6, 9, and 10, talks about that the people will look but not see. They'll hear but not listen. So that there's something about that. So it's fulfilling prophecy, one. Especially, you know, Jesus also said to his disciples, to you the mysteries of the kingdom have been given. And for them, not so. And I think it goes back to, what do you think the most significant question that Jesus asked people, and I think is, who do you say that I am? Mm-hmm. Right? So if you say that he's a rabbi from the first century who was kind of interesting and kind of, you know, just that, then you're probably not going to dive into the parables. You're going to say, oh, those are nice stories, but who cares? If you're going to say he's a prophet, you might look a little deeper. If you're going to say what he said and what his resurrection showed, then you're going to dive deeper. And I think that those lines to the disciples are also for us, that God rewards those who seek him and do that. But it's really the answer to the question, who do you say I am? And that those kind of read, fulfills prophecies, stories are better remembered. Mm-hmm. And then the idea is that what's your response to Jesus? So that kind of gives that.
Yeah, and I think as you say that, what is your response? It's amazing how you can pick apart when he tells a parable. You're like, oh, this is me in this parable. This is like, you know, if you talk about the prodigal son, I've been the son, the ungrateful son. I've been the faithful son, and I've been the father, you know, at different points in my life.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, other parables you can definitely pick out. You're like, oh, I think he's talking about me.
And we have to pay special attention to when Jesus explains a parable. So the most common one that he explains to disciples is a parable of the sower. Mm-hmm. You know, right. That you sow seed, whether it falls on a road, whether it falls in rocky place, whether it falls among the thorns, or whether it falls on good soil. And so he explains it. Now, sometimes at the beginning of a parable, he'll say, like the parable of a persistent widow, he'll say, I'm telling you this so that you'll be persistent in prayer. So sometimes he tells us that. And other times he doesn't tell us. He says, "This the kingdom of heaven is like this," and then goes on to that. But I think you bring up an excellent point is, where do you see yourself as far as these parables?
So, Jay, can I ask you a question here? You've mentioned two parables already, at least. What is your favorite parable and why?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was thinking about that on the way here, it's hard to say really favorite. This morning I was dropping my dog off to get groomed, and I was thinking about the Good Samaritan, and I drove by Kaiser on Huron, and there's this backpack on the sidewalk. And I look over, and there's this guy down under a tree, like he had slid down, you know, type thing. And I kind of went, oh, poop, I need to stop. So pulled around, turned around, went over, talked to him, and just made sure he was okay, you know, grabbed his other backpack and that. And but what's interesting is it also... you know, are we willing to take the steps that the Good Samaritan took fully? You know, you need a ride somewhere. But in part of my heart, I'm saying, I hope he doesn't need a ride, you know, kind of thing. I still, Lord, I'm not fully there, you know. But I think it's right in front of you. I think, and that's what the funniest thing is. And that's why I think God has a great sense of humor, so...
Yeah, we'd love to know a little bit more about that. We could talk. Well, that's for a later,
later discussion, maybe off mic. So one of the parables that I really enjoy or I like is Matthew 13:31 through 32, and it says, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a person took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all the other seeds, but when it is fully grown, It is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. So, and that is something that you when you read that, when I read it, of course, I didn't understand that at first, but then I started reading it more so I could understand it. And it's just like our faith, really, right? And you, it's small at first, and then as you continue to be in the Word of God, it grows, it grows, it grows, it grows, right? And till it's a lot, you know, till it's a lot larger than the mustard seed, the original mustard seed, which is very tiny. I mean, you guys have seen a mustard seed. It's very, very small. I don't know. I feel like for me and my faith, I'm not fully grown. You know, I don't know when I'll get there, if I ever will. However, like being in this group, doing the podcast, reading your daily Bible, praying, right? It just helps grow that. Mm-hmm. That mustard seed.
Can anybody claim that they're fully grown? Does anybody get to a point where they're like, actually, I think I'm good. Yeah. I think I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. No. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on that, Dr. J?
No, I think the parallel is very good. And I think one of the things is that it's often what we evaluate, or how we look in this world, we look at something insignificant like a seed, and we don't think of how God changes that and grows that, you know. And Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So we'll look at something kind of insignificant or not important, and God can take that and make that an incredibly beautiful thing. And so,
yeah, I think it's, as I think about that parable, it goes back to this idea of, you know, things being culturally relevant, and the folks that Jesus was talking to are not like us, right? I think unless you're living in a rural environment where seeds and fields and kind of growth and sowing is your life, you don't really get the idea, mm-hmm. but I think it's powerful that they use the seed, mm-hmm. Because that was part of how people, you know, that's people's livelihood. And so, you know, just this idea of meeting the audience where they are, becomes really clear to me through these parables. Right. And yeah. I don't think that we can fully grasp what that audience actually was listening to.
Yeah, and I think when he explains it, it's helpful. When it isn't explained, and like you said, the agrarian culture of the time had so many more insights. But it reminds me of when you talk about being in the Middle East, or you talk about being in Africa in the summer and shade. Oh my goodness, we seek a big tree under the shade that you look for, and yet this insignificant, what we think is insignificant seed leads to that, which is an incredible thing.
I don't know. Summertime here in Colorado, we see shade quite a bit. That sun is quite intense, a lot more than at sea level.
We're closer to the sun.
I know. We could have a 70-degree day, and you step into that sunlight, and it feels like it's 90. Caleb, I will say this, and I know that, you know, an agrarian culture, you know, they may hit a little more, but I guess my wife and I were watching, I don't know, have you guys ever seen Clarkson Farms on Prime, Amazon Prime?
No, I haven't.
It's good.
Clarkson Farms.
Jeremy Clarkson, he's a car guy from the UK. So anyway, he, long and short of it is, he had a farm and nobody was going to run it, so he decided he was going to do that, and so he had to learn how to farm. And I never thought much of farming. And then all of a sudden I'm watching this guy who had no idea learn how to grow stuff. And I'm thinking back to all the parables. And he has no, you know, connection to the Bible or any sort of parable. But I'm watching him grow things. Mm-hmm. And just to go through the act of farming. In every single parable where it talks about sowing seeds and planting, it starts affecting me to the point where I'm like, that is like growing things, and I need to grow things. And it takes, and when you're raising kids, when you're in a family, when you're in a marriage, or even on your job, you start to look at it like a farmer would, and that you're just, I'm planting seeds. Or when you spread the word of God, even this podcast, this is, we're broadcasting seeds out there. Have no idea where this hits. We're stepping out in faith because, Richard, you were told, hey, make a podcast. So it's like, all right, well, we're putting the seeds out there and seeing where God's going to put these words.
Yeah.
And hopefully it'll land somewhere and grow.
And I think it, like I said, it it goes back to the parable of the sower, and it's explained in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And he explains the parable that the seed is the word of God, and how does it land? And I think it's a fascinating one because I think it's almost foundational parable talking about that. And how does it land? And I from a personal standpoint, I believe that that our hearts can be the road, can be the rocks, can be the thorns, or can be good soil, depending on how we're receptive to that. And so
I did hear somebody mention one time that they said, in reference to that parable, their prayer was that they said, Lord, please make me good soil. I know sometimes I can be a rock, but make me good soil.
Yeah, that's a wonderful prayer.
So, Jay, as you think about this idea of parables and them being, you know, culturally relevant to the time, I'm wondering if you can kind of share with us and with listeners and how this idea of storytelling or parables can be applicable to us as we're sharing kind of Christ-centered messages with people.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's, you know, and I mean, I think you bring up an excellent point. If God had decided to come in our generation, would the parables have been the same? I'm not sure. They would have been meaning there, but there would have been more about the culturally relevant. There probably would have been about media and about other aspects like that.
They would have all been TikTok related.
No, I don't see him, you know, going to the media as far as that goes. But I think it would have been that we would have understood it a little bit better. But I think, you know, you have to look too, is that, you know, a good portion of the world right now is not, you know, European or American. The good portion of the world, in fact, I like to call the world, we're the third world, because the two-thirds world lives differently and lives a lot closer to understanding these parables. So maybe he would come and do the same. I don't know. That would be, you know.
So any other parables out there that jumps out at you? I'm curious to know what, you know, as you come across, as you're reading your Bible and you come across these parables, like what makes you stop and think about that one parable?
Yeah, I think for me, the parable of the unforgiving servant is an interesting one and a relevant one for all times. And it's just this idea, you know, and I'll talk about it from a super high level, is a servant is basically forgiven their debt and then goes back and doesn't forgive someone else's debt. And I think it's super relevant for us as we think about the ultimate forgiveness that, you know, God has for us, and how often we struggle with forgiving others. And so, you know, I think it's a very relevant, very simple, even worldly fairness, the idea of fairness of if I'm forgiven, then I should be able to forgive someone else. So that one is the one that sticks out to me as we were thinking about this subject, and just how selfish we are when we don't internalize that we've been forgiven of our sins. If we've, you know, come to Christ, that we can't get ourselves to forgive others.
Yeah, I think you bring out an excellent point, and a couple aspects that I think are interesting. The king says to his servant, and the servant has this huge debt. I mean, it's not an equal debt. It is a huge debt. And then is forgiven. And then he holds another servant for a very minimal debt.
Right.
And that's kind of the picture that we've been forgiven. Our sins are washed, you know, and yet we hold other people, whether it be family members, neighbors, other people, people we drive to work. Mm-hmm. We hold them in that thing. And which reminds me of too, that it's often called in the Sermon on the Mount, it's called the Lord's Prayer, but I often like to refer to it as a lot of pastors have said, it's really the disciples' prayer. I think John 17 is the Lord's Prayer when he prays for all of us, prays for his disciples. But what's the one condition in the Lord's Prayer?
Forgive others.
Yeah.
As I have forgiven you.
Yeah. So, and if you don't forgive others, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. So not only is the parable the story of forgiveness there, but he also says it directly, you know, tied in to an incredibly sacred prayer. So.
Yeah. Thanks for that. Thanks for bringing. That's a great parable too. You know, thanks for the discussion on that one. Jeff, do you have a parable that you that sticks out to you?
I already mentioned it, but my probably first and biggest parable that I think of is the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one is, I guess I can see myself as the father right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think, you know, anytime you're raising kids, when are you going to pay attention? When are you going to do this? But then there's always that hope of, I hope they come to their senses, you know?
Yeah.
And I hope, and it's just a process of maturity. But at the same time, like I said, I've been all three of them. I definitely have been the faithful son on there were like, wait a minute, what? How come you're doing this for somebody who is, he didn't deserve this, you know? I've definitely had that in my heart. And, I mean, for a long time, like when I was young, I didn't think that was a problem. I just was like, oh, so what? I'm righteous in this, you know? Had to come to a good spot on that of like, nope. We are celebrating everybody who comes back, everybody who comes to their senses.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. And I've definitely been the prodigal son myself, you know. So and I think about all that. I think about, is that a real story or is that allegory that Jesus is saying, we're basically going to boil this all down into there's a lot of real stories, but this is what it's like. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think about that one a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I lose something, I do think of the lost coin.
Oh.
I've much more been the prodigal son, you know, so the screw up. You know, I think that, and what comes in the prodigal son is the father's behavior, his willingness to run out and forgive and wrap his arms around his son.
And celebrate.
And even though the son is rehearsing, I'm not worthy to be, you know, treat me as a servant.
How many times have we rehearsed?
Yeah.
And
most of the, you know, and I try to tell the Lord, not tell the Lord, but try to say to the Lord, Lord, every time I'm rehearsing something, could you stop me, please?
Hold on. I just want to get this out the way I have it in my head.
And then guide me, right? And then guide me.
He's like, I know the way you have it in your head. Don't worry about it.
Thanks, Jeff, for that one. That's the prodigal son, and you know the mustard seed, and you know the parable of the
Unforgiving Servant.
Unforgiving Servant. I'm going to edit that, by the way.
So, so we do have a note from our fact checker. Is that?
Oh, and by the way, before you continue on, Jeff, Glenn is here. Our special guest from episode 2 is our fact checker. So, Glenn, thanks for being here and helping us out.
Is there beer?
Of course.
There's beer. We're not at that segment yet, but we will get there.
So here's his note.
When's the beer?
That was not his note. Here's his note. All right, Jesus rounds out the trifecta of parables about lost things with a story of a wayward son. Well, this parable is famously known as the story of the prodigal son. It's really a parable about the older brother.
Yes.
I called it the prodigal son, though.
Yeah.
I think many people know it as the prodigal son.
Yeah.
But it's really, to be honest.
It's a good point.
To be honest, it's about the father.
Yeah.
So how what is God like?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that sounds like an episode in itself.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could go through and on a podcast, you could say, okay, we're going to talk about one or two or three parables every time. Mm-hmm. And there's some wonderful ones. You know, and there's a lot on prayer, not only the widow being persistent in prayer, but the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the Pharisee saying, I thank you, Lord, that you haven't made me like other people, you know, like this tax collector, like this, and I tithe and I do all the right things. Kind of like the brother, you know, the righteous brother in the prodigal son. And I love the tax collector who just beats his breast and said, have mercy on me, Lord. And Jesus explains that it was the latter that was heard. His prayer was heard. So there's a lot about the character of God. There's a lot about prayer. There's a lot about forgiveness. You know, there's a lot about the kingdom of God. And there's a lot toward the end of Matthew kind of about being ready. Should we be ready? We should persevere. We should be good stewards, you know, of those. Like the 10 virgins, the 5 that had oil, the 5 that didn't. So there's a lot of tremendous depth in all of these. But I think the thing is, it's a lot easier to remember a story than it is to say, you know, okay, and on line 617, Jesus said this. It's just a, you know, so it's much easier to remember the story.
Right. Wow, great discussion on parables. Thank you. Any other parables out there that you want to talk about, Dr. J? You have a parable that I think Caleb asked you that question. What was your favorite parable? Did we get a straight answer on that?
I don't think we did.
He said all of them.
He said all of them.
All of them.
He said all of Jesus's parables are wise. That's what was his
answer. They are. However, I'm curious, Dr. J, what's the parable that just sticks in your head?
So that's a great question. I think it all depends on where you are, what the Lord's doing with you, all that. You know, we're in BSF, we're in the book of Revelation. And I think the parable that strikes me is the rich man and Lazarus. Not the same Lazarus that was raised from the dead, but talks about Hades and being in the bosom of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And there's some really powerful stuff there with that, too. So,
is that the one where he says, if you would only let me go and tell my brothers about how, I'm paraphrasing, how terrible this is and the suffering and all that, they would repent. And he says, no, they have Moses and the prophets.
Well, he also said, if you don't believe Moses, you won't believe something coming back from the dead.
Yep.
And he was foretelling his resurrection then, too, also, which is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Dr. J. That's a great parable, too, to be able to... you know, think about it. I think you're right. depending on where you are at in your life or your situation, there's different things you can think about, different parables that you can think about. So great discussion on the parables. That is our Bible section of the podcast. So I know we can go on and on for a long time regarding parables. However, we're going to move on into the fellowship portion of our podcast. And I'm going to throw it over to Caleb, because you have a lot of great questions when it comes to fellowship.
Thanks, Richard. That means a lot. I mean,
was there sarcasm in there?
No, it means a lot. I don't have sarcasm.
Listen, you texted me the other day, and it was like a list of. I kept scrolling on my text messages. I'm like, oh my goodness, there's so many questions here, and they're all great questions. So, anyways, I'll throw it over to you.
I appreciate it. So, I think I'll give our listeners a little bit of. A view into kind of the background and transparency. I think we had a conversation last week just about what would be most beneficial for listeners, right? Both in our group, but then outside of our group. So what we are looking to do kind of in this fellowship section is to really talk about holistically what transcends what we experience as men in our own group, encouraging people to get connected with a men's group, whether it's ours or anywhere in the world, right? So a lot of these questions that we're going to ask in the future and what we'll ask to Jay today are based on that fact. We want men to be connected to wherever God calls them to be, and we want to encourage folks to get connected because we have experienced that in our own lives. So with that, I will ask our guest of honor, Dr. Jay, not Julius Erving. I think the first question we have for you, Jay, thinking about this idea of fellowship, being a Christian man or being someone that is kind of searching for a Christian community or even exploring, what about getting connected to other men is important for them to know? What's been the benefit for you? What's been the benefit for people that you've been around as they've gotten connection with a men's group or something similar?
Yeah, I mean, I think you bring there's a lot of questions brought up. If our Lord, it was just about enlightenment, then he may have said do A, B, and C. But what is the greatest commandment?
To love God the Father, one another, and loving God.
And you can't, without being in fellowship, you can't be that. And then the other thing is that Paul talks about the idea that we're a body of Christ. And if you're not connected in fellowship, how will you know your role? How will you know that? And I think that that's how the Lord uses each of us. He uses us by our interactions, by that. I mean, it's kind of putting the rubber to the road as far as that.
Thank you. What about the other guys?
I would say you're not meant to do this alone. You're not meant to do anything alone. You're supposed to have time alone to recharge, but you're not supposed to live alone. And that's really hard for me to understand. And I had no idea what God was going to do in the gym that day when I met Caleb, and Caleb just saw that I was wearing, the Flatirons Redline wristband, and then just started talking.
And I told him a parable of a Michigan student.
That hooked you.
You sought me out. He said,
of Ohio State.
Yes, that's right. Michigan and Ohio State.
No, I mean, he just.
Oh, there's good and evil.
I don't know if I looked like I needed evangelizing or if he just was just saying, hey, what's up? And Then we saw each other again, and then he invited me to his group. You know, it was, I don't think he invited me the first time. I think it was the second time. But I had no idea at that point that I needed a group of guys, a group of friends. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say they needed me, but there's group of men that need you there. You know, like, yeah. We have no idea who on our Tuesday night group who we're missing, but every single one of them that shows up is a piece of the puzzle. And you can tell, because I've been disappointed, like, and I know everybody's got their life, but, you know, when you go there and you're like, oh, they're not there this week, you know, or they're not there. Or, like, I mean, you know, people get busy and there's people that haven't come in a long time and I'm like, I miss them. You know, mm-hmm. You want to reach out to them. So, trust me, I know it may seem like you've got to, you know, I guess, break your comfort zone, you know, to get there, but it's worth it. It's a mature relationship, I guess, is what I'm going after, is that it's not just a fantasy football group or a golfing buddies or your drinking buddies or something like that.
Right.
It's, I'll say it, it's kind of a Jesus club, you know, but it's like, we're going to tackle this thing and we're all searching to be disciples of Jesus and we're trying to help each other. Even if that help is for 2 hours a week, just come in here and say what's bothering you, you know, and know that we're not going to talk crap about you or think you're dumb. You know, that's a big deal. And I think everybody needs that in their life, just to know they're, you're not alone. Because when I got a problem and I know that I talk to Dr. J and he says his thing that he always says, which is always encouraging to me, which is, you are so much further along than I was at my, when I was your age.
It's true.
And it's encouraging. I don't believe you, but I mean, I do, but I... You know, I mean, he was a doctor, but no, I really appreciate that. And Jay and Glenn and everybody is always very encouraging mm-hmm. to somebody. And a lot of the times it's they'll say, oh, yeah, I've done that. And you're okay, you know.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I think one of the things that I'm thinking about as we think about our own group, but also just anybody that's looking to get connected. I think the way that you enter a group is important. The way that you enter, hopefully with an open mind, is important. I'll speak for myself. When I joined this group, I was attracted to the fact that, you know, I met somebody at the gym that was like similar to me, although a lot older.
So much older.
We won't reveal who at the table it was. But I came in and I prayed for an open mind, right? And because Jay is our guest of honor, Jay's had a very, very powerful kind of role in my life, as a father, as a husband, as a man. And a couple things that I've learned from Jay, and I think that other people that are listening could learn from AJ that's put in your life, is that, you know, a lot of people have been through what you've been through. A lot of people are also still learning at an older age than you are. And I feel like I've learned that from Jay. I've learned that it's not okay to have the answer. It's not okay to, or it is okay to not have the answer. It is okay to learn. It is okay to depend on others, which is not what we're told, at least in our country as men. I've also been encouraged, to Jeff's point, that we're further along than we feel sometimes. But I also think, like, the last thing is that I'm excited about, you know, this idea of pursuing a life of faith and turning out to be somebody like Jay, who's at peace, right? Like, maybe not every day, but like when he shows up to our group, he's happy, he's listening, he's engaged. He's trying to help other people. And I think it's a really, really good example and we have other people in our group that are like this, but I'm focused on Jay because he's our guest.
I'd like to meet this guy.
Yeah. But
he's awesome. Get along.
I would encourage people to go in with an open mind because you'll never know what you'll find. I didn't expect to meet Jay. I didn't expect to meet Glenn. I didn't expect to meet Jeff or I knew Richard. Richard was the guy I was talking about earlier, by the way. So
I remember. Anyway.
I will say this, Caleb, and, you know, kind of going along those lines. It does seem to me that Satan wants you isolated and wants you afraid to the point of hopelessness, and then wants you to take pride in that position. You know, and then once you're there, you are almost checkmated. I mean, like, it's tough to get out of, but Jesus is the God of making dead things alive and ransoming the captives. And once you are captive like that, you may not even know it, and he will rescue you. And part of rescuing you is putting guys in your life.
And I think it's, a couple of points. One point that Caleb brought up is that if you're listening to this and you don't know where to start, just look at your local church, look at your wherever you are. And by the way, sometimes you walk into groups and it's just not a fit or it's not that. But the idea is that we were designed for community, you know. I find it fascinating that getting back to the Lord's Prayer, the Disciples' Prayer, what's the first word?
Our.
It's community, is that. Where two or three are gathered, there you are. So you get a special presence of the Holy Spirit presence. And Glenn brought up another point that I think is really valuable. As you become a little bit vulnerable and that you seek to be known and to know people, accountability, too. There's an accountability of just, you know. And I have to say, sometimes it's just the idea of showing up. They go, okay, I'm going to show up. I'm going to take the time to do this. So it's certainly worth that. And I think that's probably one of the major reasons why I say that people are further along when they join a group, when they do that, because it really means that you're taking serious your discipleship. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So as far as if group, when it comes for me, is, you know, and Jeff, you alluded to it a little earlier. Just yesterday, I was at BSF, and one of the men there, he attended this group, and he hasn't been in a while. And he said, "Hey, Richard, I listened to your podcast. You know, it was great." And I asked him, you know, I was like, "Thank you. If you have any feedback, please let me know." And he said, "I got to get back to group." I was like, and I told him, and I say this to a lot of men that I meet who don't attend our group, who are thinking about it, and I tell them, it's like, you know, I tell them about the group, and I tell them, the door's open now. It's up to you to walk through it, right? And the men who walk through it, and Dr. J mentioned also, like, if it's something for you, great. Keep coming. Come when you can. Show up when you can. Leave when you have to. There's no judgment here. And I might have mentioned this in earlier podcast, where, you know, you ask men, like, "Hey, who do you turn to when you have a problem or you just want to talk?" A lot of men will say nobody, right? And I guarantee if you ask any of the men in our group, "Hey, who do you turn to if you have a problem?" My men's group. I can talk to them. I can talk to any one of them and just, they'll listen and they won't judge, and it's good to just get it off my chest, whatever that might be. Or they might have experienced whatever you're going through, and that they can give you some advice on it. So it's great, you know. I went through some stuff, well, I don't know, 10 years ago, and it was great to be able to just talk to someone who was there for me, right? And even when I first started coming to this group, what, 2018 when we first started? You know, I was talking to men who have experienced what I went through, and it was good to be able to hear different perspectives, right? And just like when we go through the Bible and the parables and whatever Bible verse you're reading, hey, Dr. J, what do you think about this Bible verse? Glenn, what do you think? You know, Jeff, Caleb, what do you think about this Bible verse? Because this is how I see it. It's also going with life situations, right? And that's where the fellowship comes in. We all know that when you come to group, it's we're there for each other, and we're each other's 2 a.m. friends. So, and it's extremely important, because sometimes guys just need to let it out.
I think that one of the interesting things is how God molds you in group. And so knowing Richard for over 6 years, yeah. I mean, the transformation is incredible, remarkable. And then and getting to know Caleb and Jeff, raising up new leaders for another generation. I think it's just a beautiful thing that the Lord is doing. And that's the other thing. In group, you can realize how much bigger the Lord is, mm-hmm. that the Lord is working in many different areas, you know. And as my wife reminds me, it's not about me, you know, so.
I appreciate, you know, what everybody said. And I think, you know, obviously we can all speak to the benefits of a group. I think one of the next questions I would ask you, Jay, and, you know, obviously everybody else can chime in, is, you know, in your experience as someone who's, you know, had your own journey of faith and been part of different groups, and I know that you talked about mentoring initially many groups and then joining ours. What do you feel are the biggest, most important characteristics of a successful group, in your opinion?
Wow, I hadn't seen that question. So, I think you can do a lot of groups for a lot of different reasons. You know, you can join a ski group, you can join a baseball group, you can do all that. But it's like Jeff said, is that, you know, this is our Lord's group, and we're followers of our Lord, and that, I think, is the biggest aspect of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that, as one of my old pastors used to say, we're already, you know more than we're willing to obey. And I think loving obedience, and the word I bring loving into obedience, because obedience without love is nothing. But loving obedience is one of the transformations that happens in group. That you've, okay, I need to do this, or we need to do this, or we, you know, or we need to serve together, or we need to do this. And I think the awareness of that. But I think the best aspect is God is working in so many different areas, in so many areas of the world, in so many groups, in so many churches, in so many, you know, like one of the, I forget the pastor's name, his six-year-old said, God is huge. And I think it's so true. And you become aware of that in group. You can become more aware of that.
What about others? Thanks, Jay.
What was the question again?
Got a bad memory at this table.
Yes.
So in your experience as someone who's, you know, obviously...
It's been a very busy week.
Yeah.
And so everybody's had a... If I forgot the question, you'd say it's a senior
that's
moment.
Right,
so.
That's right.
It's so everybody's had their pause.
Own... Yeah, everybody's had their own journey. What do you feel are the key characteristics of a successful group?
Jeff, you want to go or you want me to go?
I don't know.
I can go.
Go ahead.
So
answer your own question.
Answer your question.
I think the thing that stuck out in my mind was the ability to kind of think outside yourself. If you're entering a group, if you're entering a family, if you're entering a marriage, whatever it might be, being willing to kind of be a giver rather than a, let's call it a consumer, is super important. So I think the days that I show up to our group and expect things from the group and to strengthen me and to for me to learn aren't the most fruitful. I think, you know, ultimately I get things out of group when I come in and am willing to give part of myself or support somebody else. And I think that that's a, there's a give and take, there's a mutual kind of benefit when people show up being willing to give, but also listening and being willing to take something out of it. So that would be a characteristic.
Here's what I got, and I do appreciate that point, because I kind of like the parable with the, you know, sowing and reaping. I think you need to plant more than you take and dig up. So, yeah, I really appreciate being a producer as opposed to a consumer. On a level, you have to consume some, but you do have to have at least more that you're putting in than you're taking. But I will say what I find key about our group and successful is the check-ins. And what I find useful about that is it is nice to consume. And when I say consume, I get to talk and say what's bugging me. But then there are way more people who are talking. And for me, that's kind of like story time. And I'm hearing, like, I get this visual in my head of we're all sitting around the fire after a battle, and we all came in, and we're not fighting right now, but we're sitting there, and we're saying, here's what happened. I got outflanked here, and then, you know, that's where this fell apart, and then all of a sudden I didn't have whatever I needed, and I didn't serve, so I have no military terms, but except for flanked. Apparently that's something. But I can just hear the stories of here's what happened. Here's what happened at my job. Here's what happened with my family. Here's what happened there. And people get to check in on where they are. And then during the week, I'm thinking about them because I heard it as a story, much like a sitcom or any other thing that I'd be watching on Netflix that isn't real. I now have this person as a friend, and I'm sitting there going, wait, they're really struggling with this. Let me just say a prayer real quick. Mm-hmm. And I know somebody else is saying a prayer for them. I guarantee you, we're not going to mention names, but I guarantee you there's guys who checked in on Tuesday that we said prayers for today.
Right.
Because they said stuff that like might be uncomfortable or might be something that I'm like, I wish they didn't have to deal with that, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd rather have that going through my head all week than, like I said, a movie or something or like these situations that aren't real. And I don't want to waste my time with them. But I've got whatever these guys' names are. I've got that stuff. And I'm like, I want to pray for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I think, Jeff, that's a great point. And I was just thinking about group and about relationships and you know, sometimes my words are like flak. They don't mean anything. They're just blown away. But the words of our Lord said, come and see. Mm-hmm. And so pay attention to those words. Come and see a group. Come and visit a group. I think that's a great starting point.
Yeah, I
think that's interesting because I want to actually kick it over to Richard, because I think one of the things about this group that I think people should think about as they're starting groups elsewhere is just the accessibility factor, the comfort that people need to have to come to a group. And I think that can sit in a variety of ways, right? We meet at a brewery. I think a lot of men, at least in Colorado, are comfortable coming to a brewery. The way that we sometimes set up the invitation is that, you know, basically, do you want to be a better man? I mean, not who cares about, you know, your faith or where you go to church, but do you want to be a better man? Do you want to talk through? Do you want to have support? Do you want to be a better husband? Do you want to be a better friend? that's usually makes it a lot more accessible. So Richard, could you maybe talk through, because you're one of the people that invites the most people to our group successfully, how you create an accessible environment.
So I think one of the things, as one of the original attendees of this group, and you know, listen, we're on location. Before I get into that, we're on location at Satire Brewery. We're actually recording in a private room. However, there's a party going on outside. So if you hear background noise, you know, listen, I apologize for that. However, it's great because, like I said, Todd is gracious enough to be able to let us use one of his rooms.
There's a party going on here too.
Yeah, there is.
Just a different type of party.
So one of the things that I wanted to mention, and thanks, Caleb, for that, as far as accessibility to the group, one of the things that we came up with was, it was word of mouth at first, right? And men going out there, hey, group, you know, come to our group. We don't judge here. And then we came up with the idea of having a website so we can reach more men. So they don't have to, they can just go to the website and check it out and see what we're all about. If you go to our website, if you've been there, there's, you know, I throw my thoughts out there. It's not very often, maybe once a month. I haven't lately, however, but, you know, and that's one vessel to be able to have a man, you know, who's curious to know a little bit about our group. And then we created invite cards, right? Invite business cards to be able to share that and say, hey, listen, if you're interested, here's a card, points to our website, check it out, right? So, and then from there, we have our podcast. And that just gives you some insight into, you know, what we're all about, you know, what we talk about here in the men, right? Oh, and then, you know, Glenn's pointing at me. He's like, your hat, I'm wearing a hat. Caleb and I are wearing our hat. I had hats made up, you know, that says Bible Brothers and Beer on it. There's a cross on there. So one of the things that is important to me is, like, whenever we have our logo out there, I want a cross on it because that's what we're all about, right? But as far as accessibility for other men who have not been to a group or been to a group and kind of got turned off to it, listen, it's all over our website. We've talked about it in every podcast so far, the three that we've done, where we're at. We're in Thornton, Colorado. We meet at Satire Brewery every Tuesday, 6 to 8, right? And it's a matter of, like, this is how important it is to me and to other men here to have some passion about this group, that they're going to go up to a stranger and to a man and be like, hey, how's your faith? Here's a card. I'm part of this group. I run this group. I've been part of this group for X amount of years, and I love it. It's great. You know, you come in, we don't judge. We hear you. We listen to you. And one of the greatest things is after we get done at 8 o'clock, right around 8 o'clock, is men stay afterwards for 20 minutes, half an hour, even an hour, just talking individually to each other about whatever's going on. And that is the fellowship part of that is invaluable, right? Because we all need that. Because I've been through some stuff. Men know that, and they come talk to me about it. And I tell them, this is how I went through that stuff. So, anyways, we're very accessible. You know, if you go to our website, you can email us. There's an email link down at the bottom of the website. And so,
yeah, I mean, I think that when you talk about accessibility, you know, we do it in the way of Bible Brothers and Beer. We feel that the brewery is accessible. You know, Colorado, microbrew, all of those things are accessible. So It could be Bible Brothers and board games. Could be Bible Brothers and basketball, right? I think just finding an opportunity.
We do have Dr. J.
We do. We have Dr. J. So it's Bible Brothers and basketball tonight. But but I think the important thing and what I'm hearing is that, you know, using kind of what people are naturally attracted to get a group of people together to kind of do life together is important. So we have a model for Bible Brothers and beer, but there can be other models. And I think that, you know, God would be okay with that, whatever it might be. If he's okay with beer, he's going to be okay with basketball and board games, right? So, yeah. Well, I want to transition us to our last, and I'm going to put these questions together because these are very J questions, but I'm excited about these answers. So the question out there for you, Jay, is you talk a lot about God having a sense of humor. And I think that typically we think, or at least I do, think of God as that God authoritative figure, God that, you know, judge, God that all of that, all of those types of things. What do you mean by God having a sense of humor, and how has that played out in your life? And then secondly, what advice do you have kind of for the next generation of Christian male leaders?
Okay, I'll work with the last question first. I think the thing is, and like I love to say, wherever you are, you know, wherever, get involved. Take a step of faith. Get involved in a group. You know, do life together. I think that's the important thing. And when I make the comment to many of the men there that they're miles ahead of me time-wise, it's because of that. It's because of getting there, making those steps, that. And if I was to say two other aspects, being in person is of great value, okay? And I know that we're, you know, reminds me of the gladiator when he, you know, are you not entertained? You know, we're a generation that needs to be entertained. And But take a step and be present. You know, I think that that's a huge factor as far as that goes. If I was to say what changes that is in, and I'm an old guy. I went to school right after the Jurassic period. You know, so we didn't know a lot back then.
What they're calling the '60s now?
I think the other thing is that little steps in your life. Spend moments with the Lord in quiet. Spend with fellow believers in fellowship. And there's kind of a cycle that you have to kind of say, Lord, help me to listen to you. And then help me to repent or rethink. It may not be a deep sin, it just may be rethinking my priorities. And then respond to that, and then go back and listen again. And I love that in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. And he's really saying, you know, and he tells us the character of God. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you good gifts, or in some translations, the Holy Spirit. So, and then the answer to the other question about God's sense of humor, I think you're just going to have to come to group and see.
Hey, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
There you go. That's
what I want. Gladiator.
Let me ask you this. Has God ever made you laugh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Has God ever made you? I was talking to Jay there. Richard?
Yes.
I would say Caleb? Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Was it undeniable? Oh, but by the way, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
He has made me laugh.
I
don't deny it. I think, yes, it was definitely him. Yeah. He's the only one. I was the only one there. And he's the only one that knew certain things and made me laugh.
Yeah, and at the time, right, you, for me at the time, it's probably not like, oh, when you look back at it, you're like, yeah, undeniably, that was God making me laugh, right?
And I think we have to be careful too in that we don't live in a culture. We live in a culture that it's one way or the other. It's kind of like it's either free will or sovereignty of God. It's either God's love or his justice. But there's tension between those. Mm-hmm. And we always have to remember that, you know, who am I? You know, what am I? I'm a piece of clay that he's molded, you know, and his thoughts are so beyond our thoughts, you know. If he was using a 21st century parable, he'd say, my thoughts are like the next galaxies, and yours are kind of in our solar system on Earth. And so I think that the idea is that, yes, there's aspects of, you know, is God holy? Holy, holy, absolutely. Is he intimate and personal? Is he transcendent? Is he just? Is he love? I mean, we could go on, but all those things I can't even fathom. You know, I have my capacity to understand those things is so tiny. Mm-hmm. But getting back to the point of the podcast and the people, join a group. Come and see.
Thanks, Dr. J. So we're going to go to our last segment, beer. What are y'all drinking? So I'm drinking, since we're at Satire, I'm drinking Satire beer. All right, I had two different ones. One's a Riot Tourmaine.
They're both empty.
I know they're empty.
As it should be.
What I think is funny, throughout the whole podcast, I'm watching everybody put their glasses on the table so quietly because every little bump is picked up on the mics. So all of us are just sitting there just gently putting it down so we don't make a noise.
It's a wooden table, so these mics are sensitive.
They're sensitive.
They are very sensitive.
That's all right. They're good.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody got every guy around this table is sensitive as well. Yeah. So.
You're right.
We got the mics to match us.
So tell us about those beers, Richard.
Okay.
What's Todd got on tap?
So, sorry, I'm still laughing over your comment. So the one of the ones I'm drinking is called Riot to Remain Silent. I'm reading it from the website, right? So this is the description. A strong bourbon barrel aged rye ale. Remember, you have the right to remain silent. This beer can lead to self-incrimination at 9.6%. The other one is the Oh Honey Whiskey Barrel Aged Double IPA, which really, if you come here and you try this one, it doesn't taste like an IPA. It really doesn't. And I love his barrel-aged IPAs because they don't taste like IPAs. They really don't.
You can smell the honey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's the pronounced whiskey with a super abundance of local honey and four different hops added late to the process. It'll have you crying out, oh, honey, by the end of the glass, 10.5%. So if I've ever mentioned, I like big beers. I like barrel-aged stuff, you know. So whenever Todd comes out with some barrel-aged stuff, I'm like, let me try it, you know. And he's such a good guy. I'll ask him, and he's like, oh, I have this on. I haven't tapped it yet, but I'll tap it for you. Nice. So, and he'll give me a taste of it. So those are the two that I'm being. I love both of those beers. So
I enjoy just reading the menu, because it is quite funny. It's Satire Brewery for a reason.
Yes, exactly. You know?
Are you saying Satire has a sense of humor?
They should. I mean, it's not as good as God's, but...
Yeah. So,
if you created a sense of humor, if you're an all-knowing being and you're like, all right, my creation, they need to have this thing called laughter and all that, wouldn't your sense of humor naturally be great? Just not a natural thing. I mean, like, if he's everything, he would definitely have a great sense of humor. Anyway.
Yeah. What are you drinking? Are you drinking anything over there, Jeff?
I got to take my boys to practice, so I'm not drinking anything.
Good for you.
So You can't show up and coach Little League with beer on your breath.
I hear you.
Unless you're in a movie in the 70s.
Not in our group. Not in our group.
Yeah.
We're trying to be better in our group.
I'm trying to teach. I'm not even the head coach. I'm trying to help these kids do some. And last week, I could not throw a strike throwing BP. So I can't show up with beer on my breath and then not throw even strikes. Underhanded. So.
Caleb, what are you having over there?
I'm having what you're having.
Yeah, sure you are.
I trust you.
We do need to get a monkey spank for Glenn over here.
That's a beer. So that is that's a beer.
It's a beer.
Just to clarify,
it's a Hefeweizen. It's a very popular beer. Listen, when we take it to the beer events, and we have the monkey spank, people go nuts over that thing. Yeah, it's a really good beer.
It's good.
So, Dr. J, you drinking anything? Water?
Just water today.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah, that's okay.
Clear mind,
yes. And
no William Wallace.
Yeah, no
William Wallace.
Freedom. They have
that. That's a good one.
They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for this evening. Thank you very, very much. Great. Another great podcast. And, you know, listen, we hope that what we talk about here, that you really just, you know, hope it affects you in some way. And, you know, we just appreciate you listening out there in Radio Land. And if you're a man and you're local to Denver area, if you're visiting, I actually have a story about that. But that's going to be for a later date.
How cool would that be if we show up on Tuesday and somebody's like, yeah, I heard the podcast. We had no idea. Yeah. And that person just walks in.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
That'll happen. One of these days.
We'll give you a hat.
Give you a hat.
If you are from out of state or even out of the area.
I think Richard will buy you a beer. So.
I'll buy you a beer. Hey, listen, I've done it, right?
Come on Tuesday night and buy Glenn a monkey spank.
A monkey spank.
That's a beer.
That's a beer.
Listen, if you walk in and you're new and you have a beer or whatever, like, I'll buy your beer. I'll take care of it. Ooh. No, seriously, I will.
I'm going to be new next week. Brand new.
I'll buy your beer next week, Jeff, if you have a drink.
I'm good.
So
I'll get mine.
Listen, we're going to wrap here. And once again, thank you for listening to our podcast and spending the time out of your busy day to just listen and hear us, right? If you have any feedback at all, you have any questions, if you go to our website, there's an email address down at the bottom, info@BibleBrothersAndBeer.com. Send us an email. We'd love to hear from you. Better yet, show up if you're a man. Show up on Tuesday nights at Satire Brewery in Thornton, Colorado. 6 o'clock on Tuesdays. Show up. We'd love to have you. So thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. J, for showing up. And
thank you, Dr. J.
Sharing your thoughts. You know, love seeing you every week. At Glenn as well. Thanks for helping out with our research where we needed
it. Fact check.
Our fact checker. Caleb and Jeff, thank you again. And till next time, thank you. Have a good night. All right. We're still recording.
Bye-bye.
We're still recording. The after show.
The after show. Right? Yeah. So I will stop.